Welcome to St. James Church, Sermon of the Week, with our church leader, Harry Gwinnett.
For those of you who've been in church for sort of 10 years, or 20 years, or even 30 or 40 years, I am not going to subject you this morning to another talk about Mother's Day. Aren't you so pleased? You know, for the past few weeks, we've been in a series on hope. And a number of you have been reading the little hope book each morning. A number of you have been meeting in life groups. A number of us have been meeting on Saturday mornings here, right here, to just think about that old question about hope. What does it mean? And what has it meant in the week that we've just had? And looking at those daily reflections and those daily challenges. Has anybody done any of those daily challenges? Some of them are not really challenging, but some of them are really challenging, aren't they? If you're willing and able, just for a few moments, would you like to stand? Because I know you look too comfortable. Because I have a question for you this morning. How many of you are here? And I don't just mean in this building, and I don't just mean listening online later. I mean, how many of you are really here in this moment? If you feel that you're really here in the moment now, you might want to turn to the person next to you and say, I am here. And I would say to you, I am glad that you're here. So, it's not a time of peace, you're all right. So, I just want to take a moment in the freedom that we have. And I know that a group of people have been meeting every evening at 7 o'clock to pray for the world because there's so much going on. Just remind ourselves that we're in the freedom. We have the freedom to come here this morning. We have the freedom to gather physically or listening later. And as disciples of Jesus, that's how we come together this morning. Freed by the bread of life, which you've just partaken in, and freed by the living word of God. And standing here in the presence of the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Just think about that for a moment. Worshipping the Lamb of God who died to take away your sins. Welcome to this holy moment. And I am so glad that you're here. Would you like to be seated? Unfortunately, some of you are not going to be here for very long. I don't mean physically. I mean mentally. Because your attention span is short. Your attention will drift somewhere else. Some of you, in about 10 minutes' time, your hand, whichever you use to use your mobile phone, will start to itch. And you will want to pick up your phone to see if there's any Instagram messages that you've missed. Or if you posted something this morning on Facebook, you'll be itching to know how many likes you've got. Because that's what it is. That's where our mind goes. It goes somewhere else. It doesn't stay in the moment. You know, here and now, Brian's got his hand in his pocket. He's itching to go. He's going to check out, not Facebook, because I don't believe that he does Facebook. But you might be thinking, it's Mother's Day. And if you like Gloria, her family has taken over her kitchen this morning. She's dreading what it's going to be like when she gets back. But the fact is, when she goes home, or before she gets home, in about 10 minutes' time, she's going to be wondering, I wonder what I'm going to have to eat when I go home. I wonder if it'll be nice. What do I say if it's not nice? It might be that she doesn't like it. No, it might be that you're worried that, like, it's the 30th today, isn't it? And in 2 days' time, it'll be the first of the month. Who will be a fool? It's April. But no, I'm not talking about April's fool. I'm thinking it's the beginning of the month. That's when the bills come in, isn't it? For a lot of people, that's when your bills come in. It might be that this morning you're worried about the bills coming in. You might be distracted this morning with the person who's sitting two rows in front of you, because they might be playing on the phone, or they might be doing something, or they might be talking. There's distractions all around us. But let me tell you this, that Jesus was always in the moment. When we read the Bible stories, Jesus seemed to be in the moment, not distracted by the things that were going on around him. He lived in the moment. And I am glad that you are here this morning and you all seem to be in the moment. But as I say, you won't be in the moment for very long. Today, I want to talk about a couple of readings that we find in the Bible. The first one's in John 2. And this is where Jesus goes to a wedding. We've got a wedding here on Thursday, haven't we, Mike? So Ellie's getting married here on Thursday at 1 o'clock. I'm told that she's not going to be late. Let's see what happens. But, you know, when Jesus went to a wedding in Canaan in Galilee, it was a bit embarrassing. Are you listening to this, Mike? They ran out of wine. How embarrassing is that? And so the host ran out of wine. And here's the link to Mother's Day. Got to have a link, haven't you? Here's the link to Mother's Day. Jesus's mother says to him, they've run out of wine. Could you imagine what Jesus' expression would be? Like, what's he got to do with me? I'm not the host of the wedding. The host is the host. So what has he got to do with me? And like most mothers, at certain times in your lives, you will have wittered to your sons. And I can imagine that she's wittering to Jesus, saying, but you could sort it, but it's not my responsibility. But go on, you can sort it. And he does, doesn't he? Jesus sorts out the situation. He's in the moment. And the servants, he asks them to fill, like these jars that we can see on the screen, to fill some 6 water jars with water. Pretty big jars. And the servants, he's told, to draw the water out. And then we pick the story up in John 2, verse 8, and it says this. They did so, obviously drawing out the water, but it wasn't water. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he did not realize where it had come from. But the servants, they knew where it had come from. Then he called the bridegroom aside, and he says, hey, up, because he were a bit of a Yorkshire lad. Hey, up, he says, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after. Are you listening, Kevin, for our quaff night that we're having next door? So you'll be able to get your tickets shortly for that. We're having a call my quaff, like a wine and cheese evening with a difference. Anyway, back to the story. Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had a bit too much to drink. But he says this, he says, but you have saved the best till, not last, but you've saved the best till now. Because this is the moment that we're living in. Let me tell you this, your best days are now. Your best days aren't now. Let's just pause and pray for a moment because these are our best days. Father, we thank you for today. The privilege of just being here together on a special day. And we know that every day is special to you because every day you've got special plans for us in our lives. And we thank you for that in his name. And everyone said, amen. This morning, I want to talk about a better way. I want to talk about Jesus's way, because I believe Jesus's way was a better way than the lives that most of us actually live every day. One of the striking qualities of Jesus that, as I said earlier on, I believe that he was fully present in every moment of his life. He wasn't distracted. There were distractions, but it would appear that he wasn't distracted, because he was living in the moment, living with an undivided attention to whatever was in front of him. So back to those stories that we find in the Bible. Luke's gospel it mentions a place called Jericho. And this is what Jericho would have looked like a couple of thousand years ago. A walled city, lots of inhabitants, a place where people would go for refreshment if you'd been on a long journey. So you can imagine being in the barren countryside, and then you eventually turn up at Jericho and you can get some refreshment, you can get a rest, you can get something to eat, you can get something to drink. And there would have been a lot of people there. And Jesus walks into Jericho and there's a large crowd surrounds him because they know who he is. Is this that guy called Jesus? Let's go and have a see. Let's go and see what we can hear from him, what we can glean from what he's saying. And then there's a beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, and he says to Jesus, he says, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy." And you can imagine all these crowds, all these people, all this noise, but this one man says, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy." And instantly, he gets Jesus' attention. Jesus is in the moment with the man, but his disciples are not in the moment. They've been with Jesus, they're not getting it, and they try to rebuke the man. "Don't bother him, don't bother Jesus. He's got much more bigger things to contend with than you." But Jesus says no, and he rebukes his disciples and said, "No, I've got time for this man. What would you do?" Just ask yourself that question. Would you be like Jesus, or would you be like a disciple? We all want to be like disciples, but we've got to be careful that we're not disciples in the wrong way. Let's be more like Jesus. Let's not be like disciples in this particular story. Jesus stopped and he spoke to the guy, a guy that really not a lot of people had got time for, but they would throw him a few coins. And Jesus asks him a question. And the question is, "What do you want me to do for you?" And you might say, what a stupid question Jesus is asking. Because he's blind. He's been blind for a long time. But Jesus asks him a really simple question, but it's a really important question. Because just think about it for a moment. When Jesus heals the man, he takes away his livelihood. Because all this man can do, he's got no trade. He doesn't know how to do anything. All he needs to know how to do is to stand by the entrance to the temple and ask for some food or to ask for some money. And people have pity on him and they throw him a few coins. When Jesus heals him, he's going to take that away from him. So it's not a stupid question that Jesus asks. "What do you want me to do for you?" And then another time, Luke 19, verses 1 and 2, Jesus is passing through, probably stopped for a drink, probably stopped for something to eat. He's passing through, and there was a man there named Zacchaeus, chief tax collector, a wealthy guy. So Jesus had just been dealing with this guy that had was a nobody. Now he's dealing with somebody that believes he's a somebody, and people saw him as a somebody. Because this is the guy that creams off probably 10 or 20% off the top for himself. Jesus was on his way somewhere else. He's already been interrupted, but he's got time for Zacchaeus. He stops for the rich, corrupt man called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was? Quite a few of you went to Sunday school 10, 20, 30, or 40 years ago. I don't know whether they still sing this upstairs. I've just been upstairs for something. I'll tell you about that in a few moments. Do you remember the story then? Yeah. It sticks, doesn't it? This wee little man. Tax collector, corrupt inland revenue guy who skims some off for the top or adds a bit on. So he skims a bit off and he adds a bit on for himself. And Jesus knows, and he calls him by name. And then later on, he has lunch at Zacchaeus' house. And Zacchaeus says, "You know what?" He says, "I'm going to give half my possessions to the poor. And I'm also going to pay back four times what I've skimmed off the top, what I've cheated out of everybody. I'm going to give four times that amount. I'm going to give it back to those people." And you know what Jesus says? You'll probably remember from the story 10, 20, 30, or 40 years ago. He says, salvation has come to this house. You know, today, in this moment, salvation has come to this house. Jesus was always in the moment. And the question is, do you want to be in the moment? Do you want to be like Jesus? Not just living for the happy moments, but fully present in all the moments of our lives. In the annoying moments. I went upstairs earlier on and I found some of this. It's very dirty old Lego that Andy says that looks old. Do you remember when it was like that? Eh? And then you'd come downstairs in the morning with no socks or shoes on, and what would you do? You'd stand on the Lego, wouldn't you? How annoying is that? Do you know what I mean? Really, really annoying. Complaining about today for the moments that you're going to miss tomorrow. Wouldn't you like to be back in the moment when you stood on the Lego many years ago? But you weren't in the moment. You was probably thinking about what was to come in the future. Oh, wouldn't it be good when the kids grow up and they don't have all this Lego all over the floor? But live for the moment, because it doesn't last for that long. Who's still got some Lego at home? Oh, dear me. Look at all these people with Lego. Oh. Another question for you. Are you still here? Statistics show that I'll have lost some of you by now. There was a Harvard study many years ago in the States, and they said that 47% of the time, our mind is not where our feet are. Our mind goes off to stupid things, like I talked about earlier on. The average person touches their phone 2,617 times a day. And the top 10% of these people who are obsessed with a phone could even go as far as 54,000 times a day. I wonder where you are on that scale, you know? Do we waste time on our phones, or are we playing other mind games, not just phones? I know that there's the odd person that doesn't have a phone, but they will still be playing mind games. You might be playing the mind games. You might be playing the when-then mind game. Do you remember that? Let me explain. When I get out of high school, it will be better because I'll go to college. And when I go to college, it'll be better than the life I'm living in high school because I don't really like it. And then when you get to college, you'll be going, when I finish college, because I'm sick of it, I'm going to get a real job. And then when you get a real job, you'll go, well, it'll be good when I've paid off my student loan. And then when you've paid off your student loan, because it's hanging around your neck like a noose, you'll be thinking, wouldn't it be good to get married? And then you get married, and you're going, oh, you know, in a couple of years' time, we'll have some kids. And then the kids come along, and then there's the nappies, isn't there? And the smell, and the Lego. And you're thinking, oh, my God, get me out of this situation. Will they please grow up a little bit quicker than they're growing? And then you're thinking, as they grow up, you're going to go, oh, as they're growing up, you're going to think, oh, you know, the house ain't quite big enough. We need a bigger house now, don't we? And it goes on and on and on. And it's like, oh, wouldn't it be good to have a better holiday than the caravan holiday that we're having? And, you know, we're not so busy with the kids, and the kids have grown up. And then when the kids grow up, you feel, wouldn't it be good to be back when the kids were small? You know, thinking back, we only had one daughter, but we had three grandchildren. And yes, they were annoying at times, but not always annoying. Wouldn't it be good to be back in the time when they were about this big? Yeah. Right? Where do we set? Well, you set the bar a bit high, don't you? Let's set the bar a bit lower. Wouldn't it be good to set the bar a little bit lower to when the kids were about this big? And then you ask yourselves, where have all the years gone, don't you? Where have all the years gone? Rita, where have all the years gone? Big birthday today, isn't it? We just don't know, do we? We don't know. We don't care. We don't know. You know, we go through life wishing away the moments if we're not careful. So don't miss what you have now, pursuing what you want later. Don't miss what you have now, pursuing what you want later. Or playing the when game, or worse still, playing the what if game. And we do this all the time. You will have done this week, I guarantee. What if? What if things don't go right at work? What if? What if I don't pass my test if you're due to go for a driving test? What if I don't get my kids in the right school? What if this new job that I've just applied for is worse than the job that I'm leaving to go to the new one? Because we always think the grass is greener on the other side. Worried about the economy. Can I afford those bills I talked about? Worrying about your spouse for some reason. Worrying about some test results. Whatever it might be, you will have worried about something this week. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." Jesus didn't tell us not to plan for the future. He just said, don't worry about it. And here's another question for you. Why don't we live in the moment? Why don't we live in this moment? Why are we always rushing off for the next thing? And the reason is, we have a lack of faith in the moment that we're living in. We need to have more faith. We have a lack of hope. In one sense, we're always hoping for something else, and then we get to it, and it's not the thing we hope for. The only way that we can be present in the moment is to surrender the past that we can't change, because it's gone, and trust in God for the future. Here's what James says in chapter 4. He says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life?" he says. "For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then it vanishes." Your life is like an hourglass. I don't know anybody that's still got an hourglass in the house. You know, an egg timer? Have you still got one? You've got no idea how much sand is at the top, have you? And once you set it going, you can't stop the sand from flowing. That's your life at the top. And your life is flowing down to the bottom. And when it gets to the bottom, unlike your egg timer that you can turn over and let it run through again, we can't turn ourselves upside down. We've only got one attempt at letting the sand run through the egg timer. We've no idea how much is on top, and we can't stop it flowing. In Psalm 118, David says this, and I think we read this generally, we read this wrong. We recite this, you'll know in a minute when I tell you what it is, and you will have recited it yourselves. I'm sure a few of you will have recited it and recited it slightly wrong. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it." How many of you have said that? "This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it." That is not what David wrote. He wrote two extra words. "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And often we don't do that bit. We will. We need to remember that we will. But we have to be mindful. If you're still with me, I want to tell you the things that you can't do. Okay? You can't be happy where you are not. You might be thinking about your grandkids right now, thinking about your family. If you're not with them, you can't be happy with them. You need to be in the moment with them. You can't serve Jesus where you are not. Earlier on, we give out some notices to do things for our community. So on a Saturday morning, we run our food pantry. We have about 15 volunteers. they're in the moment doing the stuff. We've got a charity shop and we've got a number of volunteers and they do the stuff. You can't serve Jesus where you are not. On Friday, we're going to give out hot dogs to the kids and the parents from St. James's School. If you're not there, you can't serve Jesus because you're not there. It's simple, as the meerkats say. You can't love people where you are not. You know, the big moments need us to be fully present in those times, but the small moments need us to be fully present in those times as well. It's not all about the big things, it's about the little things. You know, the little kid from year two, when Brian hands him a hot dog on Friday, that's a little moment. That's serving Jesus in the, that's if he's not already eaten it. So you didn't hear that? You don't like hot dogs? You'll be all right then. What did I say earlier? Don't miss what you have now, pursuing what you want later. I'm going to invite Victoria to come and just to play a little bit of music in the background as that are coming to finish now. To be fair, it's really easy to be distracted in our lives, isn't it? There's so much going on in the world. There's so much going on in our community. There's so much going on in our daily lives. It's so easy to get distracted and to be preoccupied with the things that are not overly important, but we think they are. The only time Jesus would have been preoccupied with himself, I would think, is when he was on the cross, naked on a cross, beaten senseless before they put him on the cross, barely recognizable. He was in the moment and he would fully know that he was in the moment. And he would have been preoccupied with himself. But in that preoccupied moment, there was a man next to him that asked a question. And at that moment in time, that man would have got Jesus's undivided attention. And they had a conversation. And the man is sorry for the things that he's done in his life. And he asks Jesus a question. He said, "Will you remember me today?" And Jesus just turns to him and he says, "My friend, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus was fully present in the moment. So just remember, you can't serve Jesus where you're not. You can't love people where you're not. And you can't be happy where you're not. You might have a great friend and a great spouse, a great mum and dad, great grandkids, but you might not be with them. And unless you're with them, perhaps you're not in the moment. And let me tell you this, that this is your day. This is our day. And this is the day that God saved us for, through his grace and his mercy and his freedom and his power and his purpose for each and every one of us. And in this moment, I believe that God is with us. And these are your best days. If you're willing and able, would you like to stand? Let's just pray for God to be fully present with us in the moment right now. Father, we thank you that you're with us today, that you're with us every single day of our lives, and we thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that each and every day from this moment on, that we're present in the moment and you are fully present with us. And we pray that you just lead us to do what you want us to do in our lives. And everyone says, Amen.